What's up, everybody? Movie Bonfire, back at ya.
I'm so proud that we're continuing this Ripley marathon. I was a little worried that we wouldn't get through it, but
yeah,
I'm really happy that we're back, because I like this movie. Today we're talking about the second movie in the Ripley ad.
Ripley's Game.
I don't know, I think Ripley ad meets four, but there's only three movies, so
yeah,
it's a little three-quarter Ripley ad, I guess. So set it up for us, Bracken.
All right, so a lot of time has passed since the first movie.
Yeah, 20 years, I guess.
Yep.
He's an older man.
Yep, Malkovich is playing Ripley in this one. And so we come onto the scene where Ripley's in the middle of some sort of deal, some art deal.
Yeah, forgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he... What was great about that, he's got some accomplice, some, like, buffoon English accomplice.
Yeah.
Like, how did Ripley ever, you know, pair up with this guy? I have no idea. So, Ripley won't let him come in, because he's not cultured enough.
Yeah, that guy would screw the deal up, which he does screw the deal up behind the scenes, actually.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of why Ripley just, like, dusts his hands of this deal, because they have some prearranged price for the forgeries, and he's like, screw this, I'm taking it all.
Yeah.
Basically blows this deal all to hell, kills one of the guys, takes his money for himself. And so you kind of see right off the bat how Ripley's become this kind of like amoral, you know, jerk.
Yeah, and I don't know, it was such a striking difference from the Ripley in the first movie.
Yeah.
Because in the first movie, it seemed like killing was the last resort for the first Ripley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He would try his little Krexuli plans first. And if he couldn't manipulate his way out of it, then, okay, you're getting a statue on the head type thing.
I just get the feeling that he just has no value for people that he has no patience for. Like, if... I think he says later, as he's describing how they killed some other people, like, it's just one less driver on the road. It's just one less, you know, piece of... nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So he has the ability to just basically throw people in the context of having no worth.
Mm-hmm. So, like, maybe he would never kill, you know, like an artist or something.
I don't know.
But you brought up his accomplice, which is Reeves,
yep.
Ray Winstone. And I like that. Is that you said that he seemed like a good foil to Ripley because he's sort of a slob, buffoon type guy, you know, really, you know, uses harsh language, mm-hmm. kind of the anti Ripley. And I was wondering too, like, why are you hooking up with this guy? This guy is so beneath you. But in a way, maybe it's the only guy that can, you know, somewhat hang with Ripley at some times. Obviously, he's not as superior as Ripley in his goings on, but there's something about him that gets under Ripley's skin enough that he has some sort of value, although he would never say that he does.
Yeah, no, I was always wondering, I sort of got the impression, did Reeves kind of represent to Ripley, like, where Ripley came from? You know what I mean?
Maybe, yeah.
Like, what he worked so hard to come out of. So, it seemed like when he came back, it was almost like Ripley's past coming back. And he's like,
yeah.
You know, what are you doing here?
I can see that. And I'm like, my other question is, Reeves is gay, right? So, the way they start off the movie, he goes... I'm not the one with the earring in his ear. And then later on, Reeves, the hitman come to kill Reeves, and there's another man in Reeves' bed.
Oh,
so I think Reeves is gay. The reason I bring that up because in the first movie, the homosexual overtones are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
But this Ripley is married or has a wife or has some sort of woman in his life.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really seem gay. So I don't know if that means... was gay or he's bisexual or something. It just seems different. That's because I'm trying to compare the differences in the Ripley, and that's the one big difference, is at least in the movie versions, you know, Matt Damon's Ripley is hot to trot for Dickie, in my opinion.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He's not, there's none of that going on in this one, so I don't know.
That's a good point, yeah. He is totally married and shows absolutely no gay tendencies at all.
So I don't know, maybe, I'm going to allude that you've seen in part three, so I don't know if that comes up in part three, but I guess I'll see it when I see it.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for you.
I
don't want to spoil any gay tendencies.
So, getting back to Malkovich, I mean, this is Malkovich's Ripley. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to go with it. You got to either say, at least for me, pretty much right at the beginning, you say, well, I'm going to buy this guy as Ripley or not. And if you don't like Malkovich and you don't like his little weaselly attitude, I think you might not like this movie. But if you go with it, I mean, I bought it. So I personally sort of like Malkovich, but he's sort of a dick in my opinion. But I went with it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because if you are okay with Ripley evolving into Malkovich, basically. Because it seemed like Malkovich was just Malkovich, you know what I mean? He's like, that's how he is.
Yeah. That's totally true. Like, he's not working too hard to play this role.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, I have to be a pompous ass? Easy. So, yeah, if you could accept that jump, which I guess I sort of, it took me a minute, but after a while I was able to let go of, you know, Matt Damon character that I was so endeared to. And transition to this Ripley, mostly because, you know, we get caught up in the story pretty quickly, and we focus off of Ripley so much. Now, here's one of my questions. Why the hell did Ripley do this in the first place? Why did he set this guy up if later on he's going to feel badly about it and go help him?
Well, I think that's probably one of the more interesting things that I've thought about the movie is, like, what's the most interesting part of this movie? Why does Ripley sort of set up this kind of, like, doofus, or not a doofus, but sort of a pawn, mm-hmm. a guy, there's this guy, okay, so we'll set up, there's this guy who's a picture frame where he's dying of leukemia, he has a party, he insults Ripley at this party, and so Ripley's gonna set him up as to become this hitman for our buddy Reeves, gonna go off to Germany and pull a hit, as a dying act and earn some money for his family, basically set this guy up on the wrong path at the end of his life.
Yeah.
So why does he do that? Well, he says, I think he does it because it's part of the game. I mean, I think Ripley is sort of bored at this point. He needs something to manipulate. And this guy is, to me, it's a little easy. That character is a little easy in the fact that he's dying. There's nothing going on with that character, in my opinion, Trevani, who's the manipulated.
Really?
I don't know. I thought it was a little easy.
Well, I thought that I kind of got drawn into his character a little bit in that, you know, his whole struggle to accept the fact that he's going to die and it's inevitable.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It kind of makes me wonder, what would I do in those circumstances?
Yeah.
And I think I totally would be willing to go kill somebody for like 50 grand. It's like, why the F not? I'm on the way out.
Yeah, I think those were good. Those moments where he was kind of trying to decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was trying to, what I think, other than it's, it kind of, it's obviously says it's a game, but what I was trying to think of is Ripley is not, I don't think he's pure evil, and he is smart enough to give he's wanting to give something to that guy in the end of his life, and he does kind of, because that guy, once he pulls off the job and does it fine,
mm-hmm.
he shoots the guy no problem in the zoo, that guy gains confidence, he gains money. You know, it's kind of epitomized by a scene. There's a sex scene earlier with Trevani and his wife, and he's having trouble in bed. And then after this,
got the Freeman disease.
Yeah,
exactly. Can't get it up. Oh
boy,
terrible. So, shouldn't be on vacation. Shouldn't be on vacation.
Oh, I hope he listens to this. So he's sort of giving him something at the end of his life, like this purpose, this confidence. So he's not such a bad guy, although he's bringing him into this bad underworld.
That's true.
It's what this guy kind of needs, though, because he's just kind of a loser, you know?
He comes back after the trip, and we have a good sex scene all of a sudden, and we have a little bit more swing in his step. And if you notice, Ripley wants to stop it there. And that's probably why, because he was
trying to
force this guy into that. So Ripley tries to stop it there, but then Reeves goes crazy and sends him back to another one.
Yeah.
So maybe that was his whole thing, is that, you know, okay, you insulted me, that kind of pissed me off, but you're just being a douchebag, and I need to pull you out of your douchiness, so I'm going to send you on this mission.
It's not a direct retaliation for the insult. I don't know. It's like he can look past that insult and say, well, you're in bad shape. You're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you something at the end of your life. And it's going to be hard and it's going to be stressful to you. And you might die. But I'm gonna give you something that you're gonna appreciate, and I think that even is echoed in the very last minute when Trevani's killed, and they do a double take, and he smiles back at Ripley as if, my life has a purpose somehow.
Yeah, I went out with a bang, literally.
So to me, that's the most interesting part of the movie, but
it's also pretty subtle.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that they played it up very much. Like, you really had to think about, why did this whole thing transpire?
Yeah, I just think that he's... Another thing I thought maybe was Ripley is searching for some... he wants to be appreciated. Like, no one really appreciates him. Like, I was thinking at the end of the movie, like, after this all transpired, he's at the concert with his wife on the harpsichord down there, and he's remembering what just happened. Mm-hmm. But no one can really say to him, like... Wow, that was a good thing you did, or I really appreciate your... No one can appreciate his skill, what he has, because no one knows about it.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if Ripley is an older guy, and he's like, I just need somebody to appreciate me, what I can really do, because I'm basically James Bond of the of the world. Yeah. So, I don't know.
Professional improviser. But now that I think of it, I wonder if, you know, his intention originally was just... Let's send him on this one mission. He knows it's going to be cake for him.
Yeah.
He'll be easy. He'll get some confidence, some swing. He'll be able to solve his ED problems.
Yeah.
And so then, I guess that would explain why when it sort of spiraled out of control and Reeves, you know, pushed it up further, that's why Ripley went to help him out, knowing that it was a suicide mission. That he never would have taken care of those three dudes by himself.
Yeah. So I don't... Well, I was a little disappointed when he opens that door. Like, he's on his second mission, and there's Ripley to help him out, like, kind of the save the day. And that's the first save the day. The second save the day happens later on when the thugs come back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when it gets weak to me. Like, yeah, why would he be there? I mean, I don't know. I was a little bit like, this is getting formulaic now because, you know, Ripley's there to save the day. The guy who can handle the bad situations. Let's bunker up in his villa, and he knows what to do. So that's when I was getting a little bit like, I don't know if I like this so much. But what do you think?
That actually kind of made it for the movie for me a little bit, because this shows that Ripley's not just a manipulative jerk.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? He's willing to get in there, and I think you're right. He's bored. Like, he wants this game to transpire so that he can have something to do.
Right.
But then. I think it definitely goes past his threshold of what he was wanting to happen, because when they were coming out of his house and he's like, I'm freaking terrified, I think that was a little beyond his comfort zone.
Yeah, but you didn't think he was going to get killed or anything. I was like, this guy's going to get out of this no problem.
Yeah.
I didn't really think about Trevani, but I figured that Ripley's not going to come out of this in a bad way.
Although he would have got killed if Trevani hadn't taken the bullet for him at the end.
No, Ripley is just drawn to those near misses.
Yeah.
I think that's what he likes to ride that edge of, like, almost death.
Yeah.
Risky.
He likes to push it to the edge, ride it, and then see if he can make it back.
Now, do you think that, let me ask you this question, we touched about it earlier. Do you envision that Malkovich's Ripley is the same Ripley that we saw from the first movie, or is there a disconnect for you?
That's a really good question, because I guess the key question is, do I think it's feasible for Matt Damon to evolve into Malkovich, basically?
Yeah.
And I guess it's feasible. It just seems like too much of a jump when this is a sequel right to the original movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if they had a movie in between there, like, which the third one actually is, if it had been in between, then I think it would have been a little easier for me to accept that transition.
Yeah. Seems like we should have watched these movies in different order. Even though we watched them in chronological order as they were released.
Yeah, or maybe they should have made them in a different order.
What did you think of... Okay, the other thing that I noticed when the movie comes up is it's directed by a woman, which I know nothing about this woman.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her name even.
Liliani, I think, or something like that.
But the woman characters in this movie are... There's nothing, like, in my opinion. Like... The one is just a trophy. Ripley's wife is basically this trophy wife. I don't know. All she's there to do is basically play the harpsichord. And Trevani's wife Seems like she's just there to kind of be the
to worry.
Yeah, the cry and to worry and to throw a monkey wrench into the plot.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just not in the story, but I don't know. It seems weird that they would not have a little bit stronger woman in the movie.
That's a good point, yeah. I mean, none of the female roles play an active part in the story at all.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like, Ripley's wife, I was kind of surprised when he was so candid and honest with her about what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to believe that, you know, she's not as moral as I thought she was at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. What does he tell her?
When he tells her that she's got to leave.
Oh.
She, like, totally knows what's going on. Right, she's right, like, okay.
Yeah, they just know what they got to do. Yeah. Like, time to go. Go. Yeah. Okay, cook or whatever, the maid, you got to go now. You're taking the weekend off.
Right.
We're going to have a showdown at the villa.
And so, I don't know, it gave me some insight. Actually, now seeing the third one, it makes a lot more sense, but it kind of gave me some insight that she is a stronger character than what they're portraying her as. And she is more involved than they say.
Is the same character in part three the same, like, her name?
Yeah, it's, well, I gotta double check, but I'm pretty sure it's the same chick. I mean, it's not the same actress, but...
Right.
It's when they get together.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I would have thought, after seeing this, that was just a throwaway character.
Right, yeah.
Oh, so now I'm interested now.
Yeah, the third one, okay. They totally set up that chick.
Huh.
At least we'll have to double check, but I'm pretty sure it's the same character.
Oh, that's cool.
He finds Quartz.
I'm looking forward to that now.
And marries at the end of the third one, but...
So, I don't know, what do you think? What are you going to give it?
Well,
Unless you had something, you might have something else.
No, I'm just thinking, I'm kind of struggling with rating this movie, because I don't feel like I can score it as high as The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
Because I thought we had a lot stronger of a cast in that one, not just one shining
guy.
So, what did we give the other week? I think we gave it like a B+ average.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, I don't think it's as low as C+, but I think it's definitely B or B- for me.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a B- too. I think you hit it right on the head with the acting of the first one. Also, the scenery in the first one and the whole jazz motif is like something that I always can remember. And I don't remember any of the... I mean, he lives in a nice villa, but I can't think of any other scenery or music about this movie that I liked.
Yeah.
Not that they should have, because they shouldn't just try to rip off the first movie, but that first movie is really stand out in a lot of ways. So yeah.
Definitely, I think the cinematography, you're right, is a lot better than the first one.
Yeah. And I think, well, I just said it, but it's the acting in the first one. Every actor in that first one is so good.
Yeah.
And Malkovich is good, but...
You said
it before. He's playing himself, kind of. He's playing that character that you always see him play, like, such an ass.
Yeah.
But,
John Malkovich as John Malkovich.
So, all right.
So now we look forward to the third one, which I've already seen, but Will hasn't.
Yeah,
so.
I'll be watching that tonight. And hopefully our partner in crime will be back from his erectile dysfunction.
From his chronic leukemia. Hopefully he got better in Hawaii.
And get back to some zombies, maybe.
Oh, definitely.
We got to get back to our zombie marathon. So.
Oh, definitely.
Keep listening. And if you want a comment, give us a comment, because that would be really great. There's been a couple of them recently, and those really make our day. So if you listen to this, say something. That'd be really nice. Because we'd like to hear somebody say something to us once.
If you suffered through this, then we really appreciate you.
All right, see ya.